Macmillan Audio presents No One Can Know by Kate Alice Marshall. Read for you by Carissa Vacker. Emma. Then. She looks at the body of her mother, sprawled in the hallway. If she turns her head, she will see her father, slumped in his chair by the fireplace in the next room, one fingertip still touching the side of a glass in which his whiskey, the ice long melted, still sits. She looks down at her hands to see if there is any spot or smear of blood, but they are clean. She turns to her sisters. They stand apart from each other. She picks out details. The blood drying on the cuffs of the soft blue pajama bottoms, the wet hair hanging in stringy clumps, the hands rubbing together as if trying to get clean. She starts to speak, falters. She wets her lips and tries again. "This is what we're going to do," she says, and when she tells them, they don't argue. They don't say anything. They simply obey. 23 minutes later, she picks up the phone from the kitchen counter and dials. When the emergency operator answers, she speaks in a level voice. "My name is Emma Palmer. Our parents are dead. We need the police." She looks at the clock on the stove. It is 5:13 a.m. She hangs up. They walk together to the porch and wait. When the cruiser pulls up in front, they are still standing there. The lights flash over them, red, blue, red, blue. Hair dry, faces each a study of numb shock. Dressed in clean clothes, there will be no blood found on them, no bloodied clothes found anywhere on the property. None of them look at the others. None of them reach out for comfort, for reassurance, or offer it in turn. They are each a world of their own. Emma holds 100 questions between her teeth, biting down until her jaw aches. She doesn't ask. Will never ask. It isn't that she's afraid of the answers. She's afraid she already knows them. "Our parents are dead," she says again, to no one in particular. It's the last true thing she says for a long time. 1. Emma. Now. The edge of the picture nipped Emma's finger as she reached into her purse for her keys. It was a flimsy thing, printed on glossy paper that felt plasticky under her fingertips. The image looked more like an off-brand gummy bear than a baby. She hadn't asked for it, hadn't really wanted it, but she hadn't seen a way to refuse when the doctor pressed it into her hands. She realized she was standing in front of the door, not moving, her hand still in her purse. With a muttered curse, she hooked her finger through her keyring. She turned the key in the lock, but it was already open, which it shouldn't have been, not in the middle of the day. The door swung open, and Emma stood frozen in the doorway. She breathed in, testing, she knew and tried not to know, for the scent of blood. Of sweet decay, of everything happening again. Then,
"Emma?"
Nathan stepped out from the kitchen. He had a beer can in one hand. She stared at Nathan, at the beer, mind still on, about 9 weeks along, the cheerfully sterile walls of the exam room, the slide of the ultrasound wand over her flat stomach. "What are you doing home?" she managed at last. An expression she couldn't read flashed over his face. Guilt, defeat, something in between.
"Why don't you come inside?"
he said. She closed the door behind her. She set her purse on the little table in the hall, and now she saw Nathan's shoes discarded next to the shoe rack,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?